everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Yes, welcome back to me not having a really consistent schedule with getting my episodes out. Today I'm wearing an overcoat and then some long johns and then seven more pairs of pants over it because the snow is on the mind right now. It's so funny, living in Portland, I think there was a meme that said, like, hey, Portland, like, y'all better be staying home because if y'all can't drive when it's sunny out, you best not be able to be driving in the snow. And I kind of agree with that. A lot of people in Portland drive really terribly. That's not because everybody in the city drives terribly. It's just they don't really deal with snow a lot. But I'm from Colorado. I have a four-wheel drive car and I have all season tires. Like, I'm good to go. I'm good to roll. And it's so interesting when it happens because it feels like it's a mini vacation. And because it's a 3-day weekend coming up, like, it's one of those things where, like, people are going to be trapped inside spending time with their loved ones. Funny thing about that is, like, you know, we even, like, kind of figured out that during COVID, when you were trapped inside with your loved ones and people you care about, like, some relationships ended because people were actually trapped with people that they just didn't really like anymore. And I always found that to be incredibly sad. Like, every time I'm trapped inside with my husband, I just end up liking him more. Not because I'm trying to throw my relationship in anybody's face, but that's usually what ends up happening, is I recognize how much time we spend not doing things together. And then I realize that I want to go back into doing those things. So what's kind of been going on in my life recently is, I got some interesting medical news that I'll be sharing here in a couple of weeks. That's been kind of on my mind. It's been one of those things to where, as I get older, you know, your body starts changing and then you're kind of realizing who you are. And so this episode, we're going to be talking about health and keeping your body safe and keeping your mind where it needs to be. One thing about not doing drag as often as I had been, and it's just because, you know, in the December and January months, like, drag kind of slows down. So one of the things for us was that, like, I'm just not performing as often, and so I'm not getting as much exercise as I often did. Now, people would say, well, shouldn't this be the time for you to, like, go out to the gym and, like, you know, start working out and da-da-da-da? The thing is, like, those things are pattern building. You know, new year, new me, and I'm not one of those people who go to the gym just because it's time to go to the gym. I'm one of those people who likes to figure out a schedule and figure out who I am. I really try to attack my health and fitness in the kitchen because I feel like at the end of the day, that's what's going to make the biggest difference, is understanding what I put inside my mouth and inside my body. And as I get older, I recognize what kind of foods really help me out in that journey and which ones don't. And being a drag artist, like, we always end up, like, I think I said this on an earlier podcast, that, you know, it'll be like 11 p.m. and you realize you haven't eaten in 10 hours because it's a 3-gig day. And so in Portland, because a lot of my listeners may or may not know this, all the bars have to serve, I think, 5, like, warm meals or fulfilling meals. I can't remember what the rule is. They have to serve 5 meals if you serve alcohol, or 5 food items if they serve alcohol. So a lot of the bars obviously go for fried food because it's easier to make and it's cheap. So you'll be at 10 p.m. at a bar being like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. And so then you're just like mowing on some french fries and a burger potentially. And that's not necessarily the healthiest way to go about your lifestyle. And I know that also bar culture involves drinking. I try to drink a lot of clear liquors to keep my body clean as much as I can for a person who does actively drink. And one of the other things too is that I started to try to do meal prep because a lot of people mentioned that. The thing about it is, like, the way that my schedule normally works on, like, a full drag day, like, I'll go to work, and I work in Vancouver, and I'll be at work from 8 to 5, then I'll come home, immediately have to start painting, and I do mean, like, immediately start having to paint or I'll be late, and then I will head out for the gig, and that's what I do every single week. And sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's really hard. So I try to get a quick snack in at around 4:30 at my job. Like, I try to have, like, just some... like I have like a protein bar or something like that before I get off work. But sometimes work gets so busy that I forgot to do it. And so I'll try to do it in the car ride home. And that's kind of my only free time that I get to myself. You know, I am also one of those people too that really value that car time when you can like recollect your thoughts and understand where you're going and understanding what's next in your journey. I know as humans and creatures of habit, we tend to forget about taking a second to just think about what's next up for us. And I'm no different. You know, it's funny, actually, I was going back through a lot of my time hops, over the last, couple of years. And I guess, it's officially the anniversary of, the incident that caused the complete like destruction of my previous marriage. As I've told people this story before, in an earlier podcast. So hashtag like trigger or content warning. One of the final things which made me call the cops on my ex-husband was he had kind of destroyed my house. And obviously I took pictures of it, obviously, so I would have evidence, even though I called the cops and the cops came. The thing is, when I called the cops, he ran. And what was interesting is the next morning when he just showed up again, he had said to me, can you call the cops and say that you're no longer going to press charges so I can like go to work so they don't go arrest me when I'm at work. So I called, and I guess Colorado has this law that when you call the cops on a domestic violence situation, you can't actually rescind it. And since because the cops came and saw what he did, he ended up getting arrested. And I think that that is very telling about the state of being that I was in, because I actually did call and try to rescind it, which I think I've said on this podcast kind of a couple times before. But I haven't actually seen those pictures since it happened, actually. When I was going through my time hop, which time hop is so interesting because like it doesn't show you everything from that time. It just shows you like things that it thinks you want to see, kind of thing. And so when I saw those pictures, I was like, oh, wow. I was like, oh, wow, this is that thing that happened to me. And then everything like flooded and fast forwarded, because, you know, a lot of this podcast is me unpacking the traumas and things that I've been through in my life. And that was a really big thing that I went through in my life. And I know that people might be tired of hearing certain pieces of this story. But one of the things that did help, because we are talking about a healthy mind and body, is I did start going to the gym pretty regularly after that. I went every Tuesday, I think, with a friend of mine. And we just like did like cardio for an hour. And then went home, and we talked about everything in between, and it was great. But yeah, that's kind of what we did. And I remember it not necessarily helping me through it, but I remember that my body getting healthier was healthy for me to be able to process the thing that I was going through. I also tried to start eating better at that time as well. Soon after that happened is when I found out that I had gout. I do live with gout. And gout can, people are just predisposed to have it. And, I remember I was at Planet Fitness and I had hit my foot on the wall and I thought I had like broke it. But really just gout can be aggravated if you like kind of bang on the area that, you know, is kind of already building up like of the uric crystals. And so, I hit on the wall, so I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, this is how she told me. She's like, can you elevate? She's like, when you elevate it, does it hurt less or does it hurt more? And I told her, I was like, oh, when I elevate it, it seems to hurt more. And she's like, ooh. And I was like, oh, what? She's like, that might be gout. I said, what? And she's like, yeah. I said, but I was like, I know that gout's one of those things that's like not curable. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, crap. And, so when you have gout, you should be eating foods that are low in purine. And I remember there was a time that I tried to, become a vegetarian, and, it flared up like once a month. And that's because a spinach is high in purine. And whenever I would eat my salads, I would eat a lot of spinach, and I didn't know that at the time. And so I had a gout attack like once a month. And the gout attack, so for those of you who don't know what it is, like how it feels when you're having one, I was in a lot of message boards and Facebook groups when I first found out I had it. And it's like somebody stabbing a knife into your foot, because you can get it in any joint in your body, but I get mine in my feet. And it feels like somebody is stabbing a knife in there, but it doesn't pulsate. It's just a consistent pain, and it doesn't go away. And the first time an attack can last up to 12 days. Very first time I had it, my attack lasted the full 12 days. 3 days in the middle there, I couldn't walk at all, and I was in massive pain, and I can't sleep either because you're just in pain. For me, it was weird. Like heating it up like would make the pain subside a little bit, so I took a lot of hot baths. And it really does suck because like you can't just get around. And also, it can happen very quickly. I remember I was walking around at work just fine, and I felt the pain start to come. And I was like, oh gosh, I gotta get home. I gotta get home. I gotta get home. I told my boss, I was like, I gotta get home. I'll work from home the rest of the day. She's like, yeah, that's cool. And I, like, by the time we were able to, like, finish the meeting we were at, like, somebody had to literally wheel me in a wheelchair out of the building. Like, it was that bad. Because, like, it just hurts so bad. And, like, then I can't touch it. I can't walk on it. I can't hop because that'll shake it too much. Like, it is the worst feeling and pain imaginable. And you would think that it makes a person, like, eat foods that are X, Y, and Z, but your body tends to forget what that pain is like. The thing that I do remember even today, because you're not really allowed to drink, so you shouldn't drink beer when you have gout as well, is that I know the feeling about when it's starting to happen versus when it's actually happening. And so that, and I know that the one question people are asking about, like, has it ever happened to you when you had drag? The funny thing about it is the position of your foot actually can make it hurt less or hurt more. I remember one time I was having a really bad attack, and I was just like trying on heels that somebody had given me. And I remember I put my foot into one of them, and it felt so comfortable, and it put the position and the weight exactly right. So I was wearing those high heels for the rest of the day because I didn't need my cane. I actually have a cane on standby for if I ever have an attack. So the high heels from that. But if I have a true gout attack, it's never had to happen before, but I will cancel the gig because I can't walk. Like, it just, if it's really that bad, I won't be able to walk. But when an attack starts to happen, cherry juice, which is, you know, people talk about the cherry juice, it does work. So I have cherry pills, I have cherry juice, and then I take a special medication when I'm having an attack. The thing is, I haven't had a full attack, like, even last longer than like an hour in maybe 2 years. Not necessarily doing anything super different with my body. I'm pretty good with my daily medication. I sometimes forget it, but I haven't had a full attack in a long time. And I just thank the Lord for that, because it is the most painful thing that I think I could have ever gone through. So before we get to our next segment, I need to ask, how are you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments. Hey, fabulous listeners, get ready to indulge in a night of pure glamour, laughter, and unforgettable performances at the most awaited drag show of the season, Winter Glamp. Save the date, February 4th. We're taking over Misfits Bar and Lounge at 2580 Northeast 82nd Avenue, and the doors swing open at 7 o'clock p.m. It's a night you won't want to miss. And hold on to your wigs, because we have a special treat for you. The reigning queen of camp, the phenomenal Miss Texas 1988, will be gracing the stage with her incredible presence. Trust me, you won't want to blink. Now, who's going to guide us through this night of glitz and glam? None other than the fabulous host extraordinaire, yours truly. I'm here to make sure you have the time of your life. That is by me, Coco Gem Holiday, and Autumn Rains. But that's not all. The star-studded cast features the incredible Crystal Lynn, the sensational Carrie O'Kea, the enchanting Ash Rains Mercury, the delightful Kisses Ash, the glamorous Wanda Aquaflora, and the mesmerizing Mona Chrome. It's a night of campy fun and laughter, a perfect blend of camp and comedy, tailored for our fabulous audience age 21 and above. Trust me, it's going to be a riot. Secure your spot in the front row by snagging your tickets now at www.thecdsdrag.com/moment. Don't procrastinate, because this is a night you won't want to miss for the world. Winter Glamp on February 4th at Misfits Bar and Lounge, where the glitter is as boundless as the fun. Be there or be square.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into what they tell you podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners. So in this next segment of this show, I want to talk about safety. So recently I lost another friend because we had a disagreement about their partner or ex-partner in some capacity. One of the things about this situation for me that I wanted to share on this podcast is people kept telling me that the situation is becoming a bit more dangerous. This person who you're not getting along with is escalating, and that's becoming really problematic and scary. And I fully agree with that in all aspects. However, like, I know that when people are trapped in what I call a trapped in an abusive situation or an abusive relationship, there isn't much more that I can do to help them other than provide them the support necessary. I had been doing that for a little bit over a year with this person, where I had been trying to communicate with them and try to give them the safety and try to get them away from the situation, and it just wasn't working. Every time I turned around, they would go back to this person in some capacity. Then they would have those things where they're like, oh, you know, if they stop drinking, we'll be happy. Or if they just listen to me, they'd be happy. Or if they stop cheating on me, they'd be happy. Or if they start doing X, or they start doing Y, or they start doing Z. And it was always just these consistent and countless excuses about how to be happy with each other. And I was recognizing that, as much as I don't want to admit this, I think I was enabling the situation because I didn't, I realized that I was also a part of the problem, because people always said, if I stay in this situation, you know, if I stay there being their friend, given that helpfulness, and it was something I even told myself, that like, then they have that safety net for when they want to finally leave. But I realized that because we were in that relationship together is probably why they actually wanted to stay. And I didn't want to enable anymore. I didn't want to be that person anymore. So I was like, as long as this person is in your life, I don't think that we can be friends. Now, before people jump down my throat and say, like, how could you? Like, you're abandoning your friend. Like, you're creating an unsafe situation for them and da-da-da-da-da. And the thing is, that's probably all true. But after a year of going back and forth and consistently trying my dangdest to get this person away from this person, you know, I finally broke. The situation that I feel comfortable sharing, which involves me, was I at my family show in December. This person came to the back room because the person they were associated with was in the show, and they knew they weren't welcome, and they knocked on the back door and they said, hey, can I talk to this person? And I was like, hey, you shouldn't, what are we doing here? Like, you shouldn't be here. He's like, well, I just want to talk. And so the person agreed. They went outside. She eventually started crying. And then he left. And then he came back in and he gave me this look. And I said, you know what? We're not going to do it. And we got into this argument. And then the bartender just kicked him out. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I can't have this person showing up to what I consider to be one of my safe spaces. I can't have this person showing up to my drag shows, harassing my castmates, or even myself for that matter. I can't have this person showing up and making situations unsafe for queer people, because this person's essentially not queer, at least from what I understand. And even though they dabbled in that market, I don't think they identify as queer. And what also hurts with that is that it makes it feel, it's that feeling of feeling uneasy in my own skin. And now I know that people are like, well, isn't the thing that they're doing to a friend of yours worse than that? Of course it is. I'm not even trying to compare it. But what I'm talking about is my own safety. This person showed up to my house. This person has showed up to spaces that I've been in and created a cycle of uncomfortable violence in a lot of different ways. And I needed to get away from that situation as much as humanly possible. One of the situations that I remember, and I can't actually even remember if I talked about this, but they had heard about this incident that happened between me and Adam. And so they decided to try to make Adam jealous at one of my events by like flirting with me and stuff like that. And of course it wasn't going to work. And then they said, hey, like, I should go up and grab Adam's junk. And I said, if you do that, Adam will probably punch you in the face. And so he went up to Adam and asked him if he could touch him in the junk. And Adam said, I'll punch you in the face, pretty much. Like, it's just instances like this that they're even trying to get into my marriage and instigate crap between me and my husband. And it just got to a breaking point. It just got to all of the breaking points. And I don't know why I let it go on for so long. I think it's just because I always wanted to be able to provide that safety net for if the relationship didn't last or if my friend finally wanted to get away from them. But let's bring it back out so I can give some advice for people who may or may not be dealing with situations like this. The reality situation is, I know that it feels like you are being destroyed inside when your relationship is falling apart. I know it feels like you don't know anything else. You just want the pain to stop. That's why a lot of people like contemplate suicide in these situations, because your heart hurts so bad that you want to do everything in your power to make it stop. And the thing is, like, we will get through this. Every single person will get through it. Time heals. Time virtually heals all wounds when it comes to matters of the heart. And so people just think that they don't have the ability to get away. Now, I know even if you live together, you're like, oh, but we live together and we have assets together. This is going to be such a fight. I think it's a fight worth having, because when you find the love that you're supposed to have, or you find the love that you're supposed to be in, like, it makes everything feel so much better. And I just don't understand. Well, actually, I did it for a long time myself, as I mentioned in the earlier part of this episode. I did it for a long time myself, that I didn't know how I was going to get out, that I didn't know how I was going to navigate some of the situations that I got myself into. And the thing is, I know that in my heart of hearts, that everyone deserves a chance at love, and don't pass it by for a situation that you think is love. Like, I know that we conflate lust for love, we conflate passion for love, and we conflate patterns for love. And if you keep doing those things, you're going to end up in those same patterns, wondering why it's not working out. And saying I love a person, you can't love a person. Sorry, love isn't hurtful. The only times it's hurtful is when it leaves unexpectedly, or even leaves expectedly. Like, that's when it actually hurts. Like, but your brain does get rewired to expect that person to be there to catch you when you fall. When you start bringing abuse into those situations, like, don't you hate that if you're in that relationship where you consistently remember the times that it was good, where you're always just like, well, when he was this way. I think I might have said on this podcast before, but I saw a video recently that talked about how, like, why these women always marrying these, like, broke ass men or these terrible men. And a lot of the women finally came back and saying, when we first started dating, they weren't that person. Like, and then they fool you and they trick you into thinking they're a good person, and then you get married and then suddenly they change and become somebody else. And then you get stuck in that pattern that I'm talking about, where you consistently think about them as who they used to be versus the person that they are. Like, all relationships and every person will grow and change no matter what age you are. Your habits, hobbies, interests, and everything like that, and your passions will grow and they will change. Or they'll deepen, which is still a change. So if you're going to be on this route with somebody, you have to expect that they're going to change. And sometimes they don't change in a way that's beneficial for you to even be with them. Relationships are about collaboration, compromise. Collaboration and compromise. Hopefully more collaboration than compromise. And if you find yourself stuck in a situation where you're happy some of the time, but not all of the time, maybe think about what it would be like to be happy all of the time with someone, and figure out what that picture looks like for you. Because the thing is, you're in charge of your own happiness. Somebody else will not give you that happiness. I have one friend in my life who, anytime they go through a breakup, it becomes the worst thing in their world, because their happiness is defined by other people. When your happiness is defined by you, then you can choose to search for your happiness instead of living in a situation that's the best of that you can live in, for how sad and abusive a situation might be, because you're used to it. Break your pattern. And then once you've done that, seek out a healthy pattern and find something that fulfills you. That's it for now, listeners. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.